welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should. Here's your host, Mark Davin.
All right, folks, welcome back to Guitar Radio Show. Today we have with us an amazing guitar player, and we're going to be talking about his haunting new record, and I absolutely love it. Excuse me. It is called Shadow, and it's by Samael Pelletier. Am I pronouncing Pelletier correct?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine, man.
Okay, great. Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, Sam. How are you?
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to be here. I'm doing very well.
Good. I discovered you on Facebook, and had heard that you posted something that, oh, I finished this new record. This was back in June, I think it was, and you were like, and I'm getting ready to go out on the road, and I'm like, wow, this is interesting. Let me go find it. So I went to Bandcamp, and I went to your website, and I found the Shadow disc, and it is truly a haunting record. It's something that climbs inside you and manipulates your emotions. It's really wonderful.
I'm happy to hear that.
So tell us about this record, man.
Yeah, so I'm happy you described it that way, because that was sort of the compositional intention of that album. For a fingerstyle guitarist, I don't do a lot of percussion. There's only one piece on that album that has percussion on it.
Uh-huh.
It's never really been my forte, so what I wanted to do for this album is get to really get better at my composition skills. So I took a lot of time to compose, and I composed the album without my guitar, basically on a music software. So I wasn't restrained by physical limitation playing the instruments, but then the challenge was to try to learn them afterwards. But the intention of the album was to try to make a guitar album, but maybe in a similar vein as film music, like in the vein of Hans Zimmer and Philip Glass, to a certain extent.
Yes, yes, it is. It is. It does have a real cinematic quality to it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad to say that.
And the
effects. There's a lot of the producer of the album, J.J. Coolidge, who had worked with Eric Mondrain in the past.
Mm-hmm.
He was a huge reason for the sound of this album, and how he created a lot of the effects for the guitar, and so it's a lot more ambient than it is percussive, let's say.
It is very, it's a very ambient record, and like I said, you get lost in it, and it's very different than the EP you put out in 2014, was Halcyon Nights. Which is also very good, but this, it seems to me that you've really come into your own here. You've really developed as a musician. So let me get this straight, though. You didn't compose this music on the guitar?
Except for one piece, Archaic Love, which is the second single that I released, the second music video, which I released about a month ago. But the rest of the pieces, all the other pieces, were composed through just a music software, like basically with Guitar Pro. It's not the best software in the world, but I'm so used to working with it. My aim was to try to get the best composition I can, and then worry about afterwards if it's playable or not. So I had to do a lot of like fingering changes to try to accommodate how to play it.
Right.
In the creative process, I wasn't restrained by physical limitation of if my finger can go there or there. I could just go with the software and see if it sounded correctly to me. And then I had to worry about learning it afterwards. So it's a longer process, and it's the first time that I did this. So it was sort of a learning experience for me also, but I'm definitely going down that route for the future albums also.
That's amazing to me. You know, I do a lot of work with independent filmmakers here in Austin, Texas, and I do music for them, and it's been interesting for me lately, because getting away from the guitar, which is my primary instrument, getting away from the guitar or the bass, and working with software instruments to create orchestral pieces or ambient pieces can be very freeing. But the idea, that you went ahead and you took these software instruments and you created guitar music with it that you would later go and actually do with a guitar is absolutely fascinating to me. I am blown away by that. I would love to see that process. To walk me through that process.
Sure. Easy. Well, I sort of approached it. I took a few orchestration class in back in school, and the idea is to try to, if I have six strings for my guitar, the idea is to try to see if I can create a voice, a motif with either each string or either loops of strings. So, for example, it could be my bass part would be on the two lower strings, my accompanying part on the two middle strings, and then my melody on the two higher strings. And then I just approached the composition process as three different instruments, or it can be two, it can be however you want it to be. So I tried to approach that the guitar in that way. I'm not sure if I does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I get it. I've got to try this now. It's so inspiring.
It's very free, like you said at first, because you like you might come up with an idea and you know that it's physically not really possible to play on a guitar, but that's something you can worry afterwards, and then you try to change the fingering, you can change the tuning if it helps. But the goal within that first composition process is not to try to find the perfect figuring, but instead to find the perfect composition, and then you worry about the fingering. At least that's what I wanted to do for this one. There's a lot of other approaches that work very well, but it was something I had to try.
Right. Wow, that's amazing to me. That is just fantastic. So the track we heard coming into the show today, folks, is the track that opens up the record Shadow, and it's called Cold Tweak. And from the very first notes of the song, I was like, oh goodness, what's going on? This is amazing. And the whole record really has this wonderful common thread going through it. The one track that is really, to me, that is sort of the left turn on the record is the very last song on the record, which is called Epilogue. Tell me a little bit about that track, because the rest of the album seems like it goes together, whereas this song is like a different statement.
In a way, it is. I've always been into ambient music and playing with a looper and trying to kind of like regular fingerstyle, where you're one player and you try to sound like a band. With a looper, you can be one player and have that same effect in different ways. So for Epilogue, the goal was to try to create an outro that was more ambient than the rest of the album, but also that was all created with guitars, but which we used effects that made it sound not quite like a guitar anymore. So for example, the way that the song is structured is that there's eight guitar parts. And it's all basically played with a cascading delay. But I'm relatively staying on the same note, and I'm just superimposing all these tracks of guitars with my looper and with the delay on it. So that what creates that the repetitive note is a delay playing basically. But then the idea is to try to, like, I approach like as a composition. I wanted to try to slip like an orchestra in a way, try to superimpose as much of these tracks that I can until it becomes like a beautiful chaos of sound.
Wow, this is really cool. So what people may not know about you is you're from Montreal, right? You're based in Montreal now?
I've been in Montreal for the last 8 years, but I actually just moved back to my hometown in New Brunswick, which is about 6 hours east of Montreal.
Okay. Is there a scene there? Is there a music scene in New Brunswick?
There is, but it's a bit more folklore-oriented, like folk music type of thing.
Uh-huh.
but there isn't much of a fingerstyle scene, which is maybe partly because of why I'm doing that. I want to see if I can make something happen, but also I'll be in the next year or so, well, in the next few months, my footage online will be, I'll try to make it a lot bigger with lessons, with different video content. Right. I'll have my own channel on YouTube up and running very soon. So the idea is to try to get away from a big city, which is normally the approach for music, and so I can live in an environment that's more, that's a bit more, less city oriented, let's say, and yeah, to try to make something happen there in the digital world online.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So
it's a bit risky, but I feel like I have to try
it. Well, go for it. I mean, you know, you seem like one of those type of artists anyway that you tend to, you know, take chances and try things. I mean, just this whole idea of working out all this material first digitally and then adding the guitar to it is definitely, you know, left of center for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important to try to take musical risk, artistic risk, and otherwise it can become stale very quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, and folks, you know, Samuel is not, he's not limited to fingerstyle guitar, although I think that is his passion. He's a great pop, rock, funk, blues, even some country, and definitely some metal. There's some actually really cool videos of him demoing a guitar, playing some pretty ferocious metal on YouTube. And, where did it all start for you guitar wise? Who was there a specific person or band that you heard when you were first coming up and you said, "Oh, I want to do this"?
Oh yeah, for me it was the electric guitar. I played electric guitar for 8 years before switching to the acoustic. And the player for me that really made me want to do, I want to do this with my life type of thing, is definitely Randy Rhoads. When I heard the solo of the Crazy Train, that blew my mind completely. And then I tried to play it poorly for years until things started to get together. But that was definitely Randy Rhoads. I come a lot from the metal world, so the Dimebag Darrell from Pantera, the Metallica guys. So then for many years, I was more in that world. And then I went to study when I was 18 at the Musician Institute, GIT, in LA, which opened up my world to all different musical styles that I wasn't really used to, like country, like funk, blues to a certain extent. And I've always been interested in, not necessarily be, always interested in trying to sort of fake many different styles, like in the sense that to try to play a bit of country, play a bit of blues, play, not being the best, because you can, obviously can't be the best at more than one thing, even that's hard. But instead, I want to try to just be able to put that hat that can fake all these different styles, and eventually, if I can morph them into one style, that'll be the ultimate goal. But I'm still working on it.
And then you ended up with a bachelor's degree in classical music.
Yeah, exactly. So in 2012, that I did my bachelor's in classical music at Concordia University, and that's where I picked up the classical guitar also. Picking up the classical guitar was still continuing that idea that I just mentioned and trying to simulate as much style as I can, but also mainly it was to help me with my fingerstyle skills. I felt that my raghand technique was lacking at that time, and it just seemed like a good way to get better at that approach. And after that, I just in 2016 I started my master's in musicology, which is less guitar oriented but more theory, more history, which would eventually could help me for getting teaching gigs.
Okay.
And I love to teach also a lot, so that's more of a backup plan for now.
Right on. That's great. It's amazing how well-rounded you are. Was it the classical guitar that you were learning? Was that what really got you into the fingerstyle, or was it a particular artist?
Can you repeat that, sorry?
I said, was the classical guitar that you learned at school what got you into fingerstyle, or was it a particular artist?
No, it was. I during my last month at the GIT, where I saw a Tommy Emmanuel clinic, and that completely changed my life from there.
Yeah,
it was like, well, what the hell is this? One guy can play all of this by himself. I was blown away. And from there, you go on YouTube, and then I discovered Andy McKee and Andre Poole and Eric Mongrain, all of my favorite guitar fingerstyle guys. And I played by myself for 2 years before going with the classical guitar.
Okay.
So I started mostly with the fingerstyle by myself, and then the classical guitar at the university introduced me also to other players that Julian Bream, Fagoglia, all these classical names that I wasn't really familiar with before.
Right.
And and each one of those styles has like a certain wisdom that you can pick out of it and try to make it your own type of thing. And so I was always really attracted by that content.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what actually drew me to you when I you know. Your post, first of all, intrigued me to go listen, and then I was glad that I did, because you don't cop all those other styles that are out there. You don't sound like Andy McKee. You don't sound like Tommy Emmanuel. You got your own thing going on, and that's always what I look for. That's always what I look for. I mean, yeah, granted, it's in that genre, absolutely. But Andy McKee, when you hear Andy McKee play, you go, oh, that's Andy McKee. When you hear Tommy Emmanuel play, you go, that's Tommy Emmanuel. And I kind of get that same vibe for you. As people get to hear you more, they'll start to realize, oh, that's Samuel. And
that's the ultimate goal.
Well, that is the ultimate goal. And that's the ultimate goal for me when I'm looking for something to listen to. And someone to talk to on this show. That's really what I'm looking for. So right now you're on tour, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the tour started last week. It's a 2 month tour called the Way They Used to Do a Tour, and it's a Canadian tour from coast to coast.
Wow.
So the guys, there's Skeeter and the Deets, which is a folk country band from Vancouver. And they started on June 1st from Vancouver, and now by today, July 1st, we're the complete east of Canada. We're in Newfoundland and St. John's, and then we're heading back for the next month towards Vancouver. So we're playing at the Ship tonight in St. John's for Canada Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then for pretty much six times a week up until the end of July, we're heading west out until Vancouver. And this, for me, is my first really big tour, so I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm loving playing each day for new people. It's really amazing.
Well, you picked a good time of the year to do it, because, you know, pretty soon it's going to start getting cold up there again, and you're going to not want to travel so much.
No, I don't think.
So I know this just came out, and I'm going to tell everybody I can about it. It's going to, this show plays in 11 countries all over the planet. So a lot of people are going to get to hear this, which is super cool. What do you hope for this?
For the album?
For you and the album. Going ahead.
I have different ideas. The film music influence that I mentioned earlier is a path that I'd like to pursue if the opportunities present themselves. But basically, for the next 5 years or so, I'll try to aim in a few different directions. So there's the fingerstyle world the Shadow that I just released right now, that is my first mark in that world, let's say. And then from there, I do really love to teach individual lessons also. I've been doing it for about 10 years in different schools in Montreal, and I feel like I developed a certain approach that really helps the student in becoming who. Well, kind of like you mentioned, that you had a feeling that my music sounded like me. I try to the best that I can to try to teach students how to go down that route also.
Yeah.
Because when you have your own voice on music, on guitar, whatever the instrument is, it really diminishes the competition aspect. Like, you don't feel like you have to prove yourself to someone who's maybe more technical than you, or better rhythmically oriented than you, or whatever. You just, because when you have your own voice, it's you. No one can do it like you. So that's really something special that I try to teach for students.
I think it's great. I think it's great that you have this willingness and devotion to both the performing, recording, and also in teaching. There's a lot of people that I've known over the years, famous, not famous, who have been who taught. A lot of times they taught because, well, I have to feed myself because this isn't happening right now, and I'm waiting for this to happen. And for some of them, it did, and some of them, it didn't. But I love the idea that you are just as devoted to one as you are to the other. That's something that I really don't see too often. It's very refreshing.
Yeah, no, good. I was on my every teacher that I had on guitar always made a huge impact on me. Mm-hmm. And I feel that if I can have that same effect on someone else, then I made my part slightly in that process.
Yeah.
So you learn so much with teaching also. Like if you could be teaching a concept and realize that you're about to explain something and that you might not understand it as quite as well as you like, so teaching forces you to really get better at communicating that the musical process in itself, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I get it for sure. Well, I'll tell you, this record really moved me, and I was so glad that it did, and it was so refreshing. You know, I've been working on scores myself lately for the last month or so, and I haven't played a lot of guitar. I haven't played a lot of guitar other than guitar that I needed to use in certain scores, but hearing this, you made me pull out a few acoustic guitars out of storage, and you've inspired me to play more fingerstyle guitar. I am also classically trained originally, and it makes me want to do it just hearing what you do. So thank you for the inspiration. I appreciate that.
Thanks for telling me that, Mark. I'm not sure what to say. I'm very glad that I have that effect. It's always I've had that same effect with some other players, and whenever some players that I never heard before got introduced to me, where it completely makes you want to play again in a different way. So if I can have that effect even 10% on someone else, I'm happy to do so.
Well, that's great. Folks, check out this record. You can go to Bandcamp and find it there. The name of the record is Shadow. It's by Samuel Pelletier.
It's also available on my website
I was just going to mention that. And you can go to Samuel.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You can go to Samuel Pelletier, and that's PELLETIER.com.
Exactly.
And go and check it out. You can listen to it there as well. And but you can buy it at Bandcamp. I don't think you can buy it on your website, can you?
You can, actually.
Oh, you can? Yeah, okay. Let me see. Yeah, you can. There it is. Okay, cool. Folks, go get this record. If you enjoy, I mean, you heard Cold Tweak on the beginning of the show. And as we go out, we're going to listen to the title track, Shadow. This is really a great record, and it just feels really good. I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah. Hey, Samuel, thanks so much. Good luck with the show tonight and the rest of the tour. I know tonight you are at St. John's and the Ship Pub, and then all the way through. The last gig, it looks like, is what, July 29th in Vancouver.
Exactly. All the way Canada coast to coast.
Yeah, so you're going and going and going. I'm looking at this. Man, not a whole lot of rest.
No. That's what we want.
Go to the website. Check everything out there, folks. Sir, thanks so much for being on the show. Hold on 1 minute, but we're going to sign off right here. And here's the title track from the record, Shadow. Thank you, Samuel.
Thank you, Mark. My pleasure.
out Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, and Tumblr, and of course, on guitarradioshow.com.